It's good to be here tonight, amen. Any first timers? Lord help Brother Wyatt back there. Come down there and get a lesson, Brother Wyatt. You got one? There's a little sheet you need to sign, Brother Wyatt. Already? Thank you. Two lessons tonight, everybody. Amen. Two lessons tonight. All right, let's say amen for Sister Reverend Minister Bonds.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. This lesson is on what tonight? Joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, oh Lord, we thank you on this evening. Lord, we bless your holy name. You are worthy of all of our praise. Father, we give you thanksgiving on tonight because you are God and God alone. We thank you, Lord, for the great gift of salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear God, for another day's journey. We're glad about it. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've never left us or forsaken us. We ask your blessing on this night. We ask you to bless the teachers that are going to come forth. Lord, I ask you to take me out of self. Hide me behind your holy cross, Lord, that you would get the glory out of everything that's said and taught on tonight. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord God, that we may stand pure before you, a holy God. We thank you, Father, and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. We pray your blessing upon each and every one that's here and those that are listening in. And in Jesus' mighty name, we give you thanks and praise, glory and honor. Amen. Amen. How much time I got? About 30 minutes? About 30. No, you got to have time, too. Amen. Okay. Tonight, the lesson is in Luke chapter 15, another very familiar passage of Scripture talking about the prodigal son. Amen. Amen. And that word prodigal just means wayward. You know, someone is just, as they say, he bad, she just bad, you know. But that's what it means, just a wayward child. Someone just go their own way. They're not thinking about God's way. They just want to go their own way. And in the natural and in the flesh, that's how we think. Basically, we just want to be about ourselves. We just want to do what we want to do. So in this story on tonight, we're going to see how we can shine God's light of joy when we share God's light together. Amen. The key word tonight is what?
Joy.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. It don't make no sense for us to be sad about anything because no matter what we're going through, God is with us. He is here with us even right now. Amen. Thank God for Pastor. I don't know if he's here, but okay. We thank God for our pastor. We thank God for Elder Bradshaw, and I thank him for sharing the platform with me. He didn't have to do it, and I'm grateful. And I thank God for you, Elder. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, okay. Praise the Lord. I receive it. Okay. Okay. Let us all, first of all, look at our additional Bible reading scriptures tonight. And if you look at the bottom of your handout, you'll see that the first one is in Matthew chapter 7. A very familiar passage of scripture. And whoever the timekeeper is, please keep me on time. Amen. Is that you, Sister McGee? Okay. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. We're going to just briefly go and read that because it's going to pertain to the lesson tonight. Amen. When you get it, say amen. I'm going to read from the King James Version. If you look up to the monitors to my left and right, you can as well. Good evening, Pastor. You can see it as well. Amen. And this is King James Version. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. And it reads as follows. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Verse 5, thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Amen. Quickly turn to Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Philippians. Verse 4, very familiar passage of scripture again. Philippians 4. When you get it, say amen. Amen. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 15. Those are our reference scriptures for tonight. Amen. We see in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus is teaching on three different parables. And a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Amen? So we can see again tonight, as where Elder was teaching last night, as he's gathered there, and as he is teaching the people again, and as they're drawing near unto him, them other people came again. Except for some more showed up called the publicans, okay? Tax collectors, that's who they were, and sinners, for to hear him, to preach, teach, to heal, amen? And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. This time they said it out of their mouth. This man receiveth sinners and eat with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, now this is where Jesus begins to speak. And he say, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he have found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Oftentimes, back in that day, and maybe even today, I'm not too familiar with the shepherds of today, but they do have some. When the sheep would wander away, it is said they would catch them and break their legs and then carry them back to show them that they really loved them and they cared about them. So we can see here that there was one sheep who had got lost in the mist. And sheep have a problem if they don't have a shepherd of running off and grazing in other grass and drinking water in streams that are moving quick and getting confused. And oftentimes the predator catches them, amen, which is a wolf or some type of dog or, you know, maybe a lion, depending on where they are in the country, amen. And so when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders and he was rejoicing that he found his one little lamb. Amen. Now that's really something. And he got all these lambs, but this one getaway, most of us will say, let him go. Because I had a dog, I let him out, he would just run up the street, I couldn't catch him, I would close my garage door and say, let him go. When he get tired, he gonna come back. You know, because at that point, I was tired of him running. And I say, he gonna either come back or something gonna get him. But, okay, so he came, he found it, and he laid it on his shoulders, and he began to rejoice. And that's how Christ treats us. He rejoices when we come to him. Amen. The angels rejoice in heaven. They praise the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times when people come to Christ in the church, you know, you can see tears coming down people's eyes. You can see people rejoicing and being happy. And I remember the time when my father got saved. And I remember when he got found. He was lost. And at the age of 70 years old, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And boy, that was a happy time. I'm telling you, the whole church was tore up. The family was tore up. We were rejoicing in the Lord, and the church was just rejoicing. 70 years old and gave his life to Jesus, and we rejoiced. We were so joyful, and I don't care. I'll praise him by myself. Y'all all that's been here, you know that. I'll tear up a pew in a minute. But so rejoice, okay? Christ has compassion on us, and he rejoices when we come to him. Amen. And so verse 6 says, and when he come home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Amen. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Just one sinner makes God happy in his heart, makes the angels rejoice, makes God rejoice. And that ought to tell us something when people come to Christ in the church, in your family, your friends, or wherever they are. But when we're here on Sunday, we ought to be rejoicing when one gives his life and repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a time, what a time it is to rejoice in the Lord when one comes to Jesus. And so the 99 and just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver and she lose one piece and do not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she have found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me again. You see how happy these people are? Now, she's just missing a coin, but she's so happy that she found it. She wants others to join in with her in rejoicing that she's found that piece of coin. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repented. When you and I repented, when we turned from ourselves and turned from the world and gave our lives to Jesus Christ, there was a party going on, a celebration in heaven, and Jesus was happy. about us giving over our lives to him as Lord and Savior. So now we get to the parable of two sons. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. In other words, give me my stuff. You know, young people are, they don't know sometimes. Sometimes they could be obnoxious, they can be rude, very disrespectful. So this young man is here, and usually as a tradition in the Jewish tradition, that they had to wait until the father passed away before they got their inheritance. But this young man was so caught up in the culture that we talked about the other night that he just wanted to get his stuff and run. And let me tell you something, if you get your stuff before God is ready for you to have it, there could be trouble ahead of you. Because God's timing is always right. It's never wrong. And sometimes we can get a blessing, yes, a blessing, at the wrong time if it's not God's timing. This young man wanted his stuff. And he disrespected his father, selfish in himself, not caring how his father felt, not even, you know, wanting to wait till his father was dead. That says a lot. You know, and there's a lot of children like that. They can't wait until mama and daddy gone. I'm spending everything, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to spend everything. I'm just kidding. I'm going to leave you with Jesus. This young man, I just wanted to cheer y'all up a little bit. This young man, his father, he didn't fight him. He didn't tell him no. He gave him his stuff. He gave him his portion. The Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided them unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, sometimes we'll go far away and sin so nobody can't see it, we think. But if I have to tell on myself, I was someplace one time, some time ago. I didn't think nobody else was going to be there. But somebody else was there from the church. And I was going, oh, Lord. Don't tell on me and I won't tell on you. No. And it was nothing bad I was doing. I wasn't clubbing. I wasn't partying. I ain't going to tell y'all where I was, but I was out somewhere. So this young man, he took his journey and went to a far country. And he wasted everything, all of his inheritance, on riotous living, on partying. Had plenty of friends around him. You know, when you got something, you know, you're going to draw people to you as long as you have it. But then when those substances start to disappear, you will see those friends and those people start to disappear out your life. Because why? They're freeloaders. You know, many times they, you know, you think they're your friends. I don't know about you, but my kids are always saying, those are my friends. And I'm going, everybody is not your friend. Some of them are freeloaders. They'll use you until they can't use you up no more. So this young man took his inheritance and he blew it on living, you know, any kind of way that he wanted to. out there in the world. And when we are away from God and when we're not doing the will of God and living for Him, we get caught up in this world system and in this culture, and we begin acting like it. And so he was drawn away from what he had been around, what he had been around, raised around, and doing all of his life. And the culture sucked him in. And he began to behave like the culture. And this is a problem that we have with our young people today. And not just our young people. Don't be fooled. We got a lot of middle-aged people, old people, who are out there trying to be young. They're trying to revisit and get back that youth they had. And let me tell you something. They ain't coming back. It's not coming back. So we have to be careful so we don't get caught up in this world system and drug out of what we know and what we've learned. We have to apply God's word to our life on a daily basis and be able to live according to the way he tells us to live. But when we get into self and when we're in our own little bubble, and God is on the outside, those are the type of things that will start happening in your life. Amen. So not many days after, he left and became estranged with his father and went to this far country, wasted everything he had. And when he had spent all that he had, there came a famine. The scriptures say there arose a mighty famine in that land that he was in. And he began to be in want. Now he's lost everything. All that money he had, all his inheritance, it's gone. And guess what? The friends are gone too. So who was he going to lean on? Who was he going to look to for a lunch or dinner or breakfast? Who was he going to look to for food? Who was he going to look to help him with gas in his car now? All that stuff. A famine came in the land and he began to be in need. And he even hooked himself up with some Gentiles. Now, this is a Jew. And he hooking himself up with some Gentiles and some Gentiles that own a pig farm. So we know that the Jews did not have no dealing with pigs. It was against the law. It was a law that they didn't have anything to do with swine. Okay? Now he's finding himself. He done spent all his money. He finding himself in a famine, and now he's hungry. He's morally bankrupt. He's physically bankrupt. He's financially bankrupt, and he's spiritually bankrupt. He just tore up. Tore up from the flow up, as they used to say. Amen. And so he joined himself with this pig herder, okay? And you'll do anything if you are hungry. You know, we say what we won't do, but desperate situation, desperate times will cause you to do just desperate things in your life. Things that you never thought you would do, you might find yourself doing. You say, I'll never do that. My mother used to say, don't never say never. Don't ever say never, because you don't ever know what situation you're going to find yourself in. Amen? So in the spiritual bankruptcy that he's in want, He's tied up with a pig herder. And the Bible said in verse 16, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave it to him. Meaning that word fain, he would have eaten it. He didn't. But he would have. Why didn't he eat it? Because they didn't offer him none. He hungry. They wouldn't offer him anything. But he would have ate it. He'd ate them corn husks and that slop and everything else if they would have gave it to him. But he didn't do it. You know, and sometimes it takes for us to get in a situation, and it's true. We got to hit and go in the gutter before we can see the need that we need Jesus. Many times, a lot of us, bad things got to happen. Some type of loss has to take place for us to really see that we need Jesus in our life. Amen? And so we see in verse 17, and when he had come to himself, he's lost everything. He's on a pig farm. He's wasted his life. But it came a time that he came to his senses. He had a moment, what I call a come to Jesus moment. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and a spare, and I perish with hunger? See, now he's remembering how good it was at home. Sometimes children can't wait. I can't wait to grow. I can't wait. I can't wait to get out. But there'll come a time they're going to say, I wish I was at home. I wish I was back at home with mama and daddy. I didn't know it was going to be this rough out here. And they will get to that point and come back and tell you, you was right, mama. You was right, daddy, in what you said. It was nothing good out there for me. I thought it was, but it wasn't. But through all that, a parent never gives up on their child. They never give up. You shouldn't give up on your child. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care what they're doing. God don't give up on us, so we shouldn't give up on our children. Even at their worst point in life, drug addiction, out there on the street selling their body, homosexuality, I don't care what it is. You don't give up on your children because God won't give up on us. And if he won't give up on us, if he's standing there waiting with his arms wide open for us to come home, we should be doing that as well. Amen.
Is that a growing up moment? Is that a growing up moment for men and women who find themselves in that kind of situation?
It could be. And the reason I say that is because every child don't think like that. Okay? You got some good children out here. You got children that obey their parents. You got children that have been raised up in the church. Pastor been talking about that. And they remember. And they don't go out there and do all. I ain't saying they don't sin, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there are some that don't go to the extreme as others. Now, sin is sin. I don't care who we are. We all have committed sin. We were born into sin. Each and every one of us, born into sin. So that's how I would answer that, Elder. Because there, you know, you can have four different children, and each one of them can have a different personality. And you could have one as soon as he gone. He's a challenging child, and every time you can't reason with him. And then you got some, yes, mama, yes, daddy. And they do what they say they're going to do. But you got some of them.
Teacher, I think too we can look at this. You know, the old saying goes, experience is the best teacher.
Yes.
And when you go through some things, you find out what the real world is like. And like the prodigal son, you come to yourself and recognize things are not as good as you thought they were.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So experience, it'll teach you. You go through your wilderness period. And that's when you really find out who you really are.
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. You're going to get a mic.
Be even with the experience, if you allow yourself to go through that situation, I don't care what kind of experience comes, it's like a rolling off the water off a duck's back.
Come on,
but
mother.
If you allow yourself to take that defining moment to do what you've been taught or know what you need to do for yourself to better yourself, you know, you can do that. Thank you for bringing that point up. I never realized that, you know, it could be. It could be. And, you know, just like I said, all children, all people, it's where they are in life and what they're willing to accept and willing to do. Just like we say, a lot of time the truth will set you free.
Amen.
It will if you act
Amen.
On it. But if you sit up there and just look at it and don't do nothing with it, there's no way that you're going to be free.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
The Lord truth is set you.
Thank you.
And says, teacher, it also shows, you know, the Bible teaches us that we should train up a child when they're young. And when they get older, we'll not depart from them. And this young man, you know, he had been trained the right way.
Amen.
And so if we train our children the right way, they will come to themselves, you know, and realize what the truth is really all about, you know.
Yes.
So it's very important that we as parents, we train our children so they stray away just like we strayed away.
Mm-hmm.
But our teaching brought us back.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mother. Yes, ma'am. Sister McGee.
You know something, I have spent most of my life blaming myself.
Mm-hmm.
For the way my son turned out, because I gave him what he wanted. I gave him everything he needed. He didn't have to want for nothing, didn't have to work, didn't have to make up his bed, didn't have to do anything. And now I'm paying for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I take full responsibility, but sometimes I wonder, should I be taking that responsibility? Because I take responsibility for the way he turned out, and it was... it's been very hard on me. It's been very difficult because he turned out like I raised him, you know, like Pastor Steve says, train up a child in the way. Well, I did the best I could. You know, there was not a man in the house, so, you know, I had to bring up my child by myself, and I did the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I overdid it trying to compensate for him not having a father. And so I carry that burden with me. You know, all the time, that if I had been more strict, if I had paid more attention, been more stern with him, make him do more things, he wouldn't be kind of like, I want to say weak, but needy, you know. And I didn't want to raise a child like that, but that's what I got.
Well, you know, too, Sister McGee, sometimes we don't know it all. We don't. And if we're not living for Jesus, we definitely don't know his way. And we can't do, unfortunately, what we don't know. So I wouldn't walk around feeling guilty for what you didn't do, because I'm sure that you are pouring into him now the precepts of God. And so don't feel guilty at all, because his sin is his sin. She had her hand up. And then Reverend Donovan. Amen.
No, I understand what she's saying, because I went through that with my kids. You know, I was married, and they had the father in the house and everything, but we were unequally yoked at the time. And I was kind of strict with my kids, and I told them, I said, things aren't going to be the way they were, because, you know, I got to make sure you have a roof over your head and all that kind of stuff. And no matter what you do, I had a lot of guilt, too, just like she said she had.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of guilt, too, but at some point, you know, I did give that over to God, and I said, Lord, I did the best I could. I said, and it doesn't matter how good you are or all the good things that you do, kids are going to go their own way, mm-hmm. just like we did. And if we carry this guilt with us into the future, we're always going to be kind of burdened down, and we don't see the good that we did do. But, you know, and I'm a strong believer that God will bring them, draw them back to himself at the appropriate time. But we can't possibly be perfect parents. We're going to do some things we regret. I regret a whole lot of stuff. But what I am grateful for, and what the Lord has shown me, was that through it all my mistakes, my bad decisions, bad mm-hmm. examples,
mm-hmm.
the Lord blessed me. He blessed my kids, you know, and they went through some things, but he, you know, slowly bringing them back. They're not where I want them to be. But I believe in my heart, you know, I've read in scripture that the Lord will draw you back to him at the appropriate time. And, you know, don't walk around carrying all this guilt. You know, that's just too much to carry. You know, because God knows your heart. He knows that you wanted to do the right thing. We all do. And we overcompensate when it's just a parent. Sometimes when there's two parents,
Amen.
We overcompensate.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And all you can do is the best you can do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody? Reverend Donovan.
What I have to say, really, is that we see the young people, our children in particular, that we say we, you know, serve and try to do our best that we can, you know, and we do that. And then they come to the church. I'm looking at it at a church point of view. If you look around and, you know, the children who used to come, and what we're doing right now with the Vacation Bible School, trying to guide these children in the right way and bring them up. But then in the church, remember there's a pull on them, on the world. The
mm-hmm.
world is probably, is peer pressure, although it's very
yes.
strong.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull them away.
It's the culture.
But we as believers in the church and leaders in the church, we should encourage them, get them things to do, watch them, you know, see what they're doing, and they have parents. Every one of their children have parents, you know, but they probably are not here at the church. But
true.
We true. Now come as the surrogate parents, and we supposed to foster these children that we have them remain in the church because they're being pulled now.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, and if we know that they're, you know, sensitive to what's happening in the world today, because we in the last time now, Satan has his old demons out there pulling like
yes.
crazy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're losing them all the time.
Yes.
My heart is saddened. I'm thinking on a particular young man here. He has a job. He's good. He's a nice fellow, nice parents and so in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not in the church. I mean, mm-hmm. he's not faithful, let me put
mm-hmm.
it away. In the church, and man, look at him. I want to speak to him, but I can't get hold of him. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, that type of way.
Mm-hmm.
So we must be cognizant of the fact the children that we do have right now, to foster them in the Word of God and continue to help them, even along the way. You know, it's so funny that you could do little things for little children and think on you all the time, you know?
Yes.
Give them 5 cents, give them a dollar, or something like that. And you we would have them, at least you'll make.
Mm-hmm.
One more, Sister Teacher.
Amen.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I was just going to piggyback on the parental guilt situation on behalf of my parents. My brother and I were raised the exact same. We were given everything we wanted and everything we needed. needed, and we are the complete opposite.
Yes.
And I think my mother struggled with guilt for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, what did she do wrong? And I finally had to tell her, you raised us the exact same. So how could I turn out as a Christian and go to church on every Sunday and he in the streets doing whatever he in the streets doing?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, as a parent, you have to say to yourself, I did what I was supposed to do. I did the best
Amen.
I could with what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to that child to know and to learn and to move forward. You either want to go with God or you want to try it your own way. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And
come to yourself moment, I guess.
Yeah, and that happens, but the point is, you know, when we're all raised up in the atmosphere of Christianity and, you know, we're being taken to the church, the word is being planted, but the Bible says sometime it falls on stony ground. Deaf ears. Yes. And so that can happen, you know, or it was just on the surface and the birds came and ate it up. You know, Satan, he watches us. He's going to and from looking whom
he
may
devour. Mm-hmm.
So he's watching, and he's watching our children. And he knows how to send a negative influence into their life.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not rounded and grounded in the Lord, what side you think is going to pull them? They're going to be pulled into the culture kingdom of Satan,
mm-hmm.
and then the ballot is going to begin. But the good thing about it is that Jesus is still waiting.
Amen.
God is still waiting mm-hmm. for the sinner to repent. He's still waiting. And like it's been said, all of us have been in some type of predicament that brought us to Christ Jesus, whether, you know, we were coming to church or, you know, we ended up in a situation like the prodigal son or, you know, whether life situation, you know, happened to us
mm-hmm.
and we came to Jesus, we repented and accepted him as Lord and Savior in our life and he cleaned us up. And so he remembers no more that stuff
mm-hmm.
that we did, you know, so, and now he's happy and he's celebrating us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we should never again turn our back on our children. You know, we have a bad habit of saying, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that to them.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them instead. I had to learn to stop doing that
mm-hmm.
and learn to just pray and just pray because, you know, as a mother, especially a mother, not to put anything on you fathers, but, you know, a mother and her children, you know, it's nothing like a relationship with a mother and her children. You know what I'm saying, Sister McGee and sis? You know, that relationship is a bond. That child is in that mother's womb, and there's a bond with that, and a mother will go to any extent to protect their children
mm-hmm.
and to save them, you know, and bring them, you know, the mothers used to bring their kids and set them on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that stuff no more. And their grandkids.
And that's the key, Sister Teacher, you know, as we go through life, generations change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't do things the same way. And as you stated earlier, society has predicted the way we do things now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right,
you can't even whip your children. They want to lock you up for whipping your children. And so there's a lot of obstacles that as parents, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be a parent raising
Amen.
Children today.
That's
I'm
right.
just going to be honest with you. Because
that's
you
right.
got so many obstacles that you have
yes.
to go against. You try to train your children at home and they go to school and learn, you know, junk, you know, and they're going to bring that junk right back home,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then all these electronic devices
Absolutely.
That they learn stuff from
mm-hmm.
the television shows
yes.
and all that.
Yes.
There's just so much that children are dealing with today, You know, so it's hard for parents to really raise their children because, as you say, they want to take the easy road. They want to do things that are comfortable. And so we have to understand, you know, through life, generations change. And that's why the Bible tells us in the last days, you're going to see these things come to pass. You know, women loving women, men loving men. All these things come about in the last days, you know. And like I told you, I've been telling you, read Romans 1. It tells you all about all that stuff. That we are facing today, you know, and all we can do, like you say, is pray.
That's all we can do, bring them, teach them, and live the life in front of them.
That's right.
Most of
That's
all.
That's right.
Live that life in front of them. We're not perfect, but we have to do it God's way. It's no other way to do it, but, you know, we have to know. You know, if anybody is out there wondering about your child, it's not a cold case. You're not a cold case. Jesus knows. And let me tell you, he's still there waiting. He's waiting on them just like he waited on us to come. So don't give up. Give it to God and let God. And I'm going to move from there real quickly so I can close and let the elder come. And so he came to his senses. He repented, and he went back home. And God opened up his arm, and he didn't beat him up with a lot of stuff. I told you so. Didn't I tell you if you went out there, if you went over there, if you hung out with them, this, that, and such, and the third was going to happen? He didn't tell him that. He was happy. He rejoiced, and they said that the angels rejoiced in heaven. Praise the Lord. God loves us with an everlasting love, an eternal love. He loves this world. John 3:16. He loves this world. He loves his children. And he's waiting. But we can't take up too much time because, you know, a lot of us don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know. The young are dying as well as the old folks. So he came to his senses and he knew what he had before compared to where he ended up. And he made it right with God, and God accepted him. Amen. What you say, Elder? Why you ain't in the mic? Now you putting the mic in there. Why you ain't in the mic?
Why she the teacher. I said that the father got up every morning looking down the road.
Amen.
And one day he.
Amen. Amen. And one day.
Saw him.
He saw him.
Coming up.
The road.
The road.
Okay. He saw him coming up the road. And he grabbed him. So good to see you. That's what an earthly father should do. I'm glad to see you. And that's what God does. He welcomes us. Happy. So glad you're home. Kill the fatted calf. Bring the robe. Get the ring. Put the shoes on his feet. And then here come the other brother. And I'm getting ready to end. There was a brother. There were two sons. And this other brother, he didn't understand what was going on. Because he told him, he said, what are they doing? He out in the field working. He said, I done did everything Daddy told me to do. That's them religious folks. I done prayed. I done paid my tithes. I was at every Sunday meeting. I prayed. I fasted. I did all of that. You didn't kill a fatted calf for me. And I'm paraphrasing that. And he didn't understand quite what the celebration was about. Why or what it was about. He couldn't figure out that he was religiously self-righteous, jealousy. He was doing the acts, but that would go back. Somebody turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse. Read it from 1 all the way down, I think, to 5. 2 Timothy 3. Mm-hmm.
He was going through all the rituals, but he didn't realize really what he was doing,
mm-hmm.
the meaning of it.
Start at 1. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
And it reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Mm-hmm. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth."
Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. We're in the last days. Evil, wicked times. And so what God has spoken is coming to pass. That's what it is, simply. There's no other answer to it but right here. You know, and so a lot of times we can get caught up in doing religious things and, you know, doing the stuff. But denying the power, meaning there's no Holy Ghost in us, no Spirit of God on the inside of us. We're just doing it because mama brought us to church, grandma brought us to church, and it's a habit, but there's no conviction. No heart in it, the pastor said. Just doing stuff. And so this is what the second son was doing. So he couldn't understand, I'm doing all this stuff, but how come I'm not being celebrated? So we're going to end this. Thank you for your time. And so there's a cost for us to walk the Christian life of obedience in our lives. I'm trying to get to my scripture I'm trying to get to. So the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh or close to the house, he heard the music and the dance, and they were celebrating. They were joyful. That son was lost, and now he was found. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother has come home, and thy father have killed the fatted calf because he have received him safe and sound." He'd been out there all that time doing any kind of thing. You know, a parent worries when their children out there, they don't know where they are. My mother used to say every time she heard a siren from a couple of my brothers, she would just, her heart would just drop, because she said, "I didn't know if I was going to get that phone call." And one night she did get a phone call. We got a phone call. Amen. And so the servants explained to him what was happening. He was angry. The Bible says in verse 28, he was angry. And he wouldn't even go. Therefore came his father out and and treated him. Come on in. You're welcome. This is your brother. He's home. Amen. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress. I ain't did nothing wrong. And I, at any time, thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You never threw a party for me. And I done tithe, I done fasted, I done prayed, I've been in the fields working, I never gave you any trouble. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Restoration is what happens when we come back to God and when we get right with God. He restores us back to him. And then we receive his blessings and we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the power to live the life that Christ has designed for us to live. So don't feel guilty. Don't carry that with you. And every time you see them, give them a word. And don't nag them with it. You know, my brother used to call me a Bible beater. He said, you every time, and my daddy too, he said, every time I come around you and ask you something, you pulling out the Bible. I said, well, the Bible is the answer. Jesus is the answer to everything. That's all I got to say. Thank y'all for your time. Thank you. God bless you.
I didn't mean for you to say that's all I got to say. I said that's all I got to give you is the Bible and Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Now we've got joy. Amen. We've got joy. Praise the Lord. We can celebrate now. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ought to celebrate, hallelujah, that God is in the restoring and in the restoration business. We can't see what he can see. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I guess it's the Father in me being raised by Preacher Brad's show. I ain't carrying none. I ain't carrying it with you. I ain't carrying your mess with me. That's what I'm trying to say. No. If you want a guilt trip, you're on your guilt trip by your. Leon means that. Hallelujah. I get y'all looking at me like forget it. I was born and raised in Mississippi, Greenville. On Luster Street, everybody was my mom and my daddy. Everybody was. When I left home, I passed all my mom and daddy's houses. When I came home, I passed all my mom and daddy's houses. If I messed up on the corner, St. Charles and Luster Street, by the time I got to William and Luster Street, word had got there before I got there. And I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters, that is in my heart. I grew up with the fact knowing that if I messed up, wherever I messed up, I was going to get straightened up. I ain't telling y'all no story. And I just turned 79 years old yesterday. Yeah. And that's true.
But we just don't have that no more. You know, you say take a village to raise a child, you know, but we don't have that no more.
Why not? You know whose fault that is? Your children will tell the adult that's talking to him, you can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mama and my daddy. And then they'll take that attitude home and mama gonna say, who is it? Tell him what's where he at. And then they get a phone call in the night. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I just want to tell y'all this. I got four boys. I'm trying to figure it out. And I think I got four. I'm going to write it down. Paul. And I'm trying to get y'all to see a point. I got four sons and four girls. Now, they are an accumulation of situations. Now, to show y'all 79 years old, y'all can figure that out. And to this day, Brother Donovan, to this day, they know the name Papa and Daddy. Their children know the name Papa and Daddy. Their children's children also. I got a daughter say, Daddy ain't gonna don't play that. All my daughters do. Daddy don't play that. My sons, no, you don't want daddy to hear you say that or see you in that. Because I didn't raise them that way. I didn't. Because what Veretta Bradshaw and Mac Bradshaw instilled in me, I tried to instill it in my children. I've never been a holier than thou parent. I didn't beat up my children with this. Deuteronomy 6. 1-4-5 tells us, when you wake up in the morning, teach them. When you walking along the way, do what? Teach them. When they come to supper, teach them. When they go, before they go to bed, teach them. My daddy worked all of the life that he worked. He retired at 65. Mama didn't do nothing but take care of children. And that was a blessing. We didn't, as a family, eat until supper. Because that's when daddy came home. When I graduated from high school in 1961, if I was in my mama and daddy's house, 18 years old, my feet didn't get under the table until my daddy came home. And mama said, let's eat. That's what mama said. Let's eat. Let me move on. It just kind of brought back memories. Let's praise God for Minister Devon. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm this year. This year, as we're beginning to wind down this session of 2022 with our Vacation Bible School, when we first started the press, I expressed my desires to Reverend Kitchens, and he said, "No, you can't do that." I wanted to tell him I'm older than you. but I respected the leadership of ministry, amen. he said, "You can't do it." I said, "Well, okay." Now you know them folk that they have their farewell tools. Amen. This is my Elijah moment. This is my Elijah moment, and I'm glad I have an Elisha. Y'all know who Elisha was. He's the one that took the mantle that Elijah gave to him. So, I hope you're wearing well. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 It ain't just like, there's stuff you have to do. Amen. It's been a good week, y'all. Amen. I know we got to talk about the resurrection, but it's been a good week. You know that song says, it's been a mighty good day. Lord, it's been a mighty good week. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's them words? Y'all know them words we got? All them words we got, trust and love, faith, joy, hope. Now hope. Amen. Now hope. Hope, hope, hope. Hope, hope. And we're looking at this from a perspective that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be looking at it from. When we look at it, this story that we have tonight, amen. So we're just gonna diligently move on, because we only got a few minutes left, and I didn't want to rush Minister Vaughn, but you know, we done heard of the resurrection story. You know that Jesus rose, right? Yeah, we know that. Amen. Yeah, he told them. Tear this building down, and I'm gonna raise it back up. Amen. And he told him how long he was gonna stay where he was before he raised it back up. I ought to have amen from somebody. He said, "You tear it down, and I'm gonna raise it up in 3 days." And they couldn't understand when he was looking at the temple of God that it took Solomon 20 years to build, and he was looking at it, and he said, "Yeah, you're going to tear this temple down, and in 3 days," and then they begin to look around stupid at each other and say, "What are you talking about? It took Solomon 20 years to build this temple, and he say he's going to raise it back up in 3 days." Yeah, just like Jesus said last night, they don't know who I is. But they're going to find out. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus speaks to your spirit, there ought to be, as in the computer world, a place where you can store stuff. Y'all don't hear me. No, yeah, when Jesus speaks to your spirit, there ought to be a place where you can store stuff. Amen. Because it's going to come up again. Amen. And all you got to do is just click on. Amen. And he said, I got something that's going to bring it to your remembrance. Amen. Because you got it on the hard drive. The Holy Spirit got it in your heart and in your spirit. And when you click, Lord have mercy, Jesus, when you click on, it's going to come up. Yeah. Don't worry about trying to remember a lot of stuff. Somebody say that again. Mother, did you say that? It's already stored. All you got to do is click on. Amen. All that's free. Amen. It'll come back. Amen. Listen at me good. I'm not one. And I never trained my mind to be one. To go through the process of being a scripture quoter. But when the Lord getting ready for me to tell you something, it's already up there. And in his spirit, he going to allow what I need to say to come out, to come up. I ain't trying to remember this old Bible.
Just Google it.
Just Google it, Pastor. I said Google. We've got this woman tonight, amen. What her name? Mary. Boy, there's a whole bunch of Marys in the Bible, wasn't it? They was confusing me. As much as I've gone through the process of learning and hearing and reading these stories that's in the Word of God, amen, I have even now when I'm trying to remember, I said, now which one of these Marys I'm talking about? Somebody say, I know that's right. Just read it. We got this Mary Magdalene. Ain't that what it is? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now in your handout, where do I want y'all to be? Let me open up my book. There's not the scriptural lesson in John tonight. That ain't where I want y'all to be. I want y'all to be somewhere else. It's over there on the left. There you go. First, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Very first thing I need you to do.
7 or 8.
Luke chapter 7.
Okay.
Go to Luke chapter 7. Brother Griffin, Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Lord have mercy, Jesus. This woman, as you can see here, that there was a woman in the city. She wasn't invited to the dinner, but she came anyway. And there's a story in the verse, in the lesson. Jesus now at Simon's house. All right? Here come this woman who was. Ain't that what it say? And when she knew that Jesus came to supper at Simon's house. And here what? a Pharisee. She brought an alabaster box of ointment, perfume. And she came up to Jesus with a contrite spirit. She wasn't weeping because of what and who she was. But her spirit is crying out now because of who she is. And the one that brought her to where she is now in her life. She have, as Pastor always say, she now have a relationship with the Lord. We know he got out the tomb, so if I don't get there, y'all, you know, amen. But anyway. It says that they saw him, and they were saying within themselves, this man, if he knew who this, if he was a prophet, he would know who this woman is. And they said, for she is a sinner. That's what they said. She is a sinner. But 37 says she was. I don't care what Nick, folk will always want to tell you, I knew you when. Oh, don't tell, don't come in my face talking about I knew you when. Jesus knew me when. But look at me now. Y'all with me? Look at me now. I know what I used to do. You don't have to tell me before, and that's what you just said. So, I knew where I used to be. Amen. You have to tell me that. I used to. Well, praise the Lord. But she is anyway. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. Jesus said to Simon, we're going down to the end. This woman came into your house uninvited to the supper that you invited me to. When I came to your house, there are some things that you didn't do. I'm trying to get you to understand this woman in the story that's in the story. You didn't do, Simon. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't kiss me. You didn't put no oil or anointment on my head. He says she had a lot of stuff going on. I'm looking at verse 47. She said she had a lot of stuff going on. She had a lot of stuff going on. We all have had a lot of stuff going on. But I'm glad that the Lord looks beyond our faults. Negroes, they don't care nothing about you who you are, because they'll tell you, yeah. But he sees our needs. He sees us the way he sees. Did you hear what I just said? He sees us the way he sees us. And here now in this story, Amen. I want you to go to Luke chapter, you know, chapter 8, because it speaks to
wait a minute. Is it Luke or Matthew? Yeah, that's where I want you to be. Luke chapter 8, 1 through 3. Y'all read that. It gives us, it tells us who she was. All right, because she had a lot of stuff going on. All right, a lot of stuff going on. And she was among the women folk that cared after Jesus and his disciples and their external needs. They took care of them. Didn't it say right here? Verse 3. Which ministered unto him of their substance. All right? They had money. Joanna was a well-to-do person. Yeah, she had substance. So she was one of the ones that provided for the needs of Jesus. But it speaks to us about Mary Magdalene here in this passage of Scripture being among the ones, the women that is, because when we get over here in John chapter 20, where I need you to be right now, no, I don't want you to go there yet. I want you to go to Matthew 28. I'm sorry. Golly gee, I got 10 minutes and they're coming up the stairs. but y'all know the story, amen. Matthew 28 tells us some things that John doesn't tell us. All right? Matthew tells us that Mary, I told you there were some Marys in here, right? All these Marys, they came to the tomb, and the scripture tells us, it describes what happened before John chapter 20, or let's just say during the whole process, but Matthew gives us a better look at what we need to know about what happened the morning Jesus rose. Some stuff happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says the angel of the Lord came down. Amen. And we know that. He rolled back the stone from the door and sat on the door that was in that he had rolled away from the tomb. I like to think that he sat on it so folk couldn't come back and put it back. Amen. And it gives us a description of who this angel of the Lord is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you don't want to mess with him, I don't think. And it says, for fear of him, the one who's sitting on the stone, the people that was keeping the tomb, Lord Jesus, they is scared. You see? and here this woman is. Now, John doesn't give the story of the conversation between Mary and the angel, but here in Matthew, we now see the conversation that she have with the angel that was sitting on the tomb. And he said, don't get scared. I know you're looking for him. Now, if we look at John chapter 20, hold your point on Matthew 28. Go to John 20.
And when she got to the tomb, the stone had already been rolled away. Y'all see that? When she got there, all right, it's already rolled away. And then you would think she would be we know the conversation because she saw in John that the stone was rolled away. So between the time that she saw in John that the stone was rolled away, in Matthew we see the conversation that she had with the angel before in John she ran back to where the disciples were. I hope y'all got all that right quick. There was a conversation that took place before she ran back to where the disciples was. All right? And said to them, they have taken away the Lord. Now, she should have realized something was strange. She didn't realize who was sitting on the stone. Because he who was sitting on the stone say, I know why you are here. And he ain't here. Because he did what he said he was going to do. He got up. Well, let me help you. He didn't get up. He who was in heaven raised him up. All right? Now, the angel that was sitting on the stone wasn't there so that Jesus could get out. But they were there so that the folk could see that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Y'all with me? He was supposed to be in the tomb. All right? Jesus could have walked through that stone. If you read a little later on in the scriptures, he walked through the door. Didn't he? Well, if he can walk through the door, he can walk through the stone. Amen. That's why the angel rolled the stone away so folk on the outside could see inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now she runs back, tell the disciples that they done took him. So here come the disciples. Amen. They comes back to the tomb. The two of them, one, they had a track meet. Didn't they? That wouldn't say in verse 4. In John, they had a track meet. Let's see who's going to get there first. You know? Amen. These niggas praise the Lord. Oh, boy. It say Peter came to the tomb first, but he didn't go in. You think? Then the one that was left, he finally caught up. And he saw Peter standing there, and he just ran on by him and went in. And he saw this, you know, the linen cloth, the napkin and all that. All right? And what happened at the end of verse 8? Seeing is, remember I told you don't have to try to go around remembering stuff, but when things happened, it'll bring some things to your remembrance. I remember that. He told us he was going to get up. We know he was in there. because the uptown folks told the soldiers, seal the tomb. Put a guard in front of it. When they got there, the tomb is empty. The guard's standing there like dead men. So they believe. But verse 9 say, for as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. If he don't rise from the dead, all this stuff that we're going through is for naught. All right? But then some things happen. Some things happen. Some conversations took place. She on the outside, Mary is crying and carrying on. And here these two angels said to her, why are you crying? Because they have taken away my Lord. I don't know where they took him. In your time of spiritual sorrow, in your time of spiritual need, he'll let you know he's there. He'll let you know he's there. And she thought she was talking to the gardener when the second time somebody called her name. But it was Jesus. Jesus don't call your name like your husband called your name. Y'all get that? I don't care what moment you're in. That's grown folk talk. Jesus don't call your name like folk call your name. Then she recognized that it was Jesus that was talking to her. He just said, Mary. Has he ever just said, Rowena? Has he ever just said that? Has he ever just said, Melissa? Has he ever just said, Russell?
Did I call you friend?
He know how to talk to you. When you need to hear from him, he know. Has he ever called your name? Eli laying in the bed. Samuel got out of the bed, went into where Eli was, said, yes, Father. Eli said, I didn't call you. Samuel went back, got in the bed. Lord said, Samuel. He went back in the room. Now, Dad, I know you called me. No, it wasn't me. But he said, the next time you hear, I said, yes, Lord. Samuel went back, got in the bed. The Lord said, Samuel, him and said, yes, Lord. Don't be, just say yes, Lord, when he calls your name. It may be just to rest his hand upon your person. I got you. I got you. You may not know it sometimes, but he can call your name, and in your spirit, he has laid your head on his bosom. And you had a peaceful night's rest. Anybody in here that found your head on the bosom of the Lord? You have gone to sleep. You have gotten in your bed. Unrestful. Sleep won't come. And they call your name. And he laid your head on his bosom. And you next thing you know, you waking up out of your sleep. We know what's happening now, don't we? Children calling my name. But the message that Jesus wanted to give to Mary was that he needed her to take a message to his disciples. And we find that in verse 17. Spiritually, he's not ready to commune with her, physically that is. But I need you to do something. Go to my brethren that I got to go home for a minute. That's what verse 17 is telling us. I got to go home for a minute. But I'll be back. So when Mary went to the tomb, she went to the tomb with hope that she would see her Lord and her Savior again. Amen. And her hope was fulfilled because he got out of the grave and he talked to her. So is the word of the Lord in our presence tonight. All is well. He has risen. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Not only have we found joy, but we found hope in our lessons tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Did we learn something this week? Have we been blessed this week? Now, Bradshaw is saying, I'll see y'all next year, but it's going to be out there. Now, that's what Bradshaw is saying. Amen. Isn't that the three musker spiritualettes over here talking? I need y'all to praise God for the boss. Give me just one sec. I need y'all to praise God for the boss, Sister Irma. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Everybody have a good time this week? I know I did. I was watching, going to some of the classes and looking at the little ones having a great time learning about Jesus. We will have a presentation from 11 and 12-year-olds and then our babies, 3 and 4. Let's go. The ones of the